Good afternoon. Today is Thursday, May the 23rd, 145th day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon, I guess, is this your last appearance?
I should be here next month as well.
Okay. Well, a last solo appearance then.
Possibly.
By Mr. Chase Adams from the California Highway Patrol Swamp Division. So you're going to be working nights out of the swamp?
Yeah, for the foreseeable future, I'm going to transition back to patrol.
Is that good?
Yeah.
Is that fun?
It's preferable. Yeah.
The nighttime is instead of a daytime shift?
It's personal preference for each officer, but I personally enjoy it. You're out there in the nighttime.
Purely coincidental that the kids are home from school.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Before the rumors start, too bad. Yeah, okay. There's another good reason why we don't have a webcam here in the studio,
right?
His physical reaction to that one. This afternoon, we'll spend a little bit of time. We got a 3-day weekend coming up. We'll talk about some of the things to do, don't, and some of the things that they'll be doing and don't want to see you doing also when we come back.
At my bank, I feel at home. I'm Trish Greggie of the Journey's End, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, hometown banking isn't just something they say, it's how they do business. I'm Kevin McClendon of Georgia's Glass, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, we invest in the future of our community every single day. I'm Greg Foster, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
Redwood Capital Bank. Our interest is you. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 3:13. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Chase Adams, but before we do, our quote this very afternoon comes from Johann Wolfgang von Goethe.
Good old-fashioned German name.
There you go. The right man is the one who seizes the moment.
That's very apropos.
Ah, isn't that cool? I like that. So what does a 3-day weekend mean for you? In 2013.
Personally or professionally?
Yes.
Okay.
They're kind of interwoven, aren't they?
Yeah.
Unless you're inviting everybody in the neighborhood over for a big barbecue.
You know what?
The personal side really doesn't has no interest for me.
I may be putting in some hours.
Maximum
extra
enforcement weekend. Yeah.
Maximum enforcement patrol is what it is.
Good. Well, look out. We'll be bringing the midget back home from Nebraska.
Okay.
On Monday, so
okay.
If you see me late Monday, just wave.
Yeah, just wave you
yeah,
through.
Yeah.
We'll see how that goes.
Perfect.
But what it does, what the long weekend does entail, especially we're kind of hit or miss locally with the weather, but 30 miles inland as always is probably going to be warm. We do have a lot of travelers over the rural highways. I'm talking about 36, 299. People going out to the lakes, people chasing the sunshine, going out to the warmer weather. And what we do see is, in some of these cases, increased alcoholic beverage consumption at said locations. So we will be on high patrol for that. Anybody irresponsibly enjoying beverages and then deciding to try and make it home to get to work on Tuesday may or may not have a run in with the highway patrol.
I would imagine the consumption of the alcoholic beverage is okay. It's the operating of the motorized vehicle
in conjunction.
Yeah, whether it has a rudder, a sail, wheels,
pedals, as it were.
You know, that's it. Sounds funny. It sounds like a Monty Python. But I know, and you know also, guys get lit up and they try to ride a bicycle.
It's not just
a comedy routine. It can be dangerous.
Oh, very much so. It's a BUI, as it were, biking under the influence. And we brought up the subject kind of lightly, but it is actually very serious. We do see it commonly with people who may or may not have their licenses suspended, so they try and do the right thing, not driving on a suspended. Obviously, they're allowed to ride a bicycle, but we have seen people on bikes being under the influence and causing motor vehicle collisions in traffic. People swerve to miss because they get, you know, you're on a bike, all your faculties aren't there because you are under the influence, and you can very easily cause a collision, both endangering yourself and other vehicles, multiple other vehicles in some cases.
With the push from certain segments of the community for bike lanes everywhere.
Correct.
I would think that that opens it up. You get somebody riding a bike out on the highway and they're lit up.
Yeah.
Oh my.
Some of the inherent dangers with having bicyclists on narrow roadways, narrow shoulders, whatever the case may be. And then add the variable of alcohol, both in some cases, both for the driver of the vehicle and the cyclist, then that's a recipe for disaster, and that's something that we actively look for.
As you guys anticipate this weekend, whether the weather's good or bad, or we blink our eyes and it changes, how much of the enforcement that you guys and gals do is out on the highways versus sitting and observing, being inside of one of the city limits, being associated with an event? You know, we got the Kinetic Race.
The Kinetic Race,
exactly. And I know you guys are part of that to help shuttle them and avoid challenges.
Sure. We
And I don't want to break your heart, but oftentimes there is alcohol involved with the Kinetic Race also.
Well, like I said, separating the personal from the professional. On years I've been fortunate enough not to have to work during the race. You know, there's some very very festive events that come along with it. Obviously, it's a world famous Humboldt County style event, and there is alcohol at a lot of these places. So one thing we do is we follow at times, especially when it comes close to the highways, whether it's, you know, the freeway or some of the
even Samoa Boulevard, aren't you guys there pretty close with them?
Yeah, 255 Samoa. They cross out there. A lot of times the race route is out there. And then some of the surface area, county roads in Lolita, Ferndale area, they get pretty saturated, both with the sculptures and with traffic, bicyclists, vehicles going to observe the race. And a lot of times people pack coolers with picnic lunches and beverages are consumed. So that's one thing we actively do, try and ensure safety for everybody involved in the race, and monitor that activity.
My turn?
Go ahead.
Okay, KINS News and Information Time. I'm smooth.
The master.
It's 3:19. Yeah, you betcha. Master this, huh? We'll be back with more from Chase Adams.
Sunshine for Humboldt. For years, the Eel River was the state's second largest source of steelhead and third largest of salmon. A UC Davis study estimates it once produced more than 1 million fish annually. This has been replaced by unpredictability. Last year saw a good salmon run, but some years it is very small. Several causes are cited, but all agree the Eel River ecosystem has been degraded. Now a task force of volunteers has come together to pinpoint the reasons and work to restore the watershed. The Eel River Task Force consists of public agencies, Indian tribes, conservation organizations, and others committed to establishing a scientific baseline of the causes of the decline and what might be done to reverse it. The members agree, no finger-pointing. A plan of solutions must fulfill legal responsibilities to protect endangered species while also respecting private property rights. It will be a big job, but a healthy Eel River is worthwhile for all Humboldt County. Sunshine for Humboldt is a nonprofit civic association dedicated to the betterment of our communities.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 3:24. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Chase Adams from the CHP. Chase, in the first segment, we were talking a little bit about bicycles and motorized vehicles and you guys paying attention. I know boating while intoxicated is a huge issue.
Yes.
Whether it's the lagoons or the lakes. Does the CHP have any jurisdiction on bodies of water, or is that like the sheriff's, or if there's a special district, whatever law enforcement entity they contract with?
Well, the CHP Navy is not what it could be, to put it lightly. Generally, we don't get directly involved with a lot of the waterway safety stuff. Generally, it's county jurisdictions provide a. I know on Ruth, Trinity County has a
team. Like a marine posse kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah, and they check for make sure everybody's boating safely, alcohol consumption on the water, all that kind of stuff, life vests, whatever the case may be. CHP doesn't get hugely involved in that. Now, there have been times when we've been called to assist if a situation gets out of control, or if there's multiple situations, multiple incidents at one time. There's far and few between times we do get involved there. Like I said, what we're on patrol for on some of these high traffic weekends, those 3-day weekends, nice weather weekends, is people being out on the water, consuming too much, trailering up, and then hitting the highways. That's one thing, we want to take opportunities such as this to educate people to be very, very cautious of that.
It's probably pretty self-evident. If somebody's looped enough, either the trailer isn't going to be connected properly or the lights aren't going to be working. There's going to be probably something else that's also a trigger for you guys.
Right,
now.
Back the pickup truck.
The trailer should not be passing the truck as it's going down the hill.
We frown upon that.
Yeah.
Also, if you drive the truck, completely submerge it on the boat ramp, that would be a clue as well.
That's
that
another one, yeah.
Maybe
yeah.
A little bit too much alcohol
you need
been
a
consumed.
Jump start, and you have to use the diving gear to get into
there
the
you go.
Engine. Okay.
There you go.
What about on the beaches? Is that also a sheriff's area? Because we do have a number of beaches along the ocean.
Sure.
And there's frontage roads that are there. Do mm-hmm. you guys mess around with that, or is that more the either Del Norte or Humboldt County Sheriff?
Well, we do. If there's any kind of collision activity, any DUI activity, we're called out to respond, and we actively patrol those areas as well. As far as actually out on the sand, rubber on sand, as it were, the sheriff does have assigned beach patrols. They have a few jeeps and quads and whatnot. They go to the dunes and to Clam Beach area, locally, Humboldt County Sheriff. Again, if they come across something that they need assistance, we'll typically get called out to help. If there's a DUI situation that they run across, they'll usually call us out, and we'll assist them in that way. And then, like I said, we'll actively be patrolling the access areas and making sure.
With the maximum enforcement weekend and the 3-dayer, there are some areas that are more challenging. I'm thinking Shelter Cove.
Sure.
Okay. Yeah, it's certainly they're going to get a share of people coming out, enjoying the beach, mm-hmm. enjoying the views and whatnot.
Notwithstanding the current situation out at the King Range.
Yeah, yeah. We won't slow down for anybody hitchhiking.
Exactly.
Just kind of go through. But now that you've stole my thunder, I do appreciate it. When you're in a situation like that is off the beaten path.
Sure. Well off the beaten path in some
there
cases.
There is an active pursuit that is going on. There's vehicle safety. There's a bunch of different potential contributing factors. Will you guys change your patrol patterns to make allowances for some of those types of things? We were talking about the kinetic race.
Sure.
That changes it. But sure. What about something like in the Shelter Cove area where we've got this situation?
The short answer is yes. We do try and allocate, if there's an event, community event, 4th of July weekend, we talked about Memorial Day coming up, we try and allocate as resources allow, man hours and whatnot, we try and allocate special patrols for those areas. I know the sheriff's office would have similar staffing preferences to put people out there when
so there'd be more law enforcement presence.
Absolutely, not
in the Shelter Cove area, just because it
right. Not only for DUI and community safety issues, but a lot of times community organizations, people putting on events or community picnics, whatever the case may be, they special request additional presence, whether it's from the CHP or from the county sheriff's office, and then our commands try and allocate patrols not only for those special requests, but for known high traffic or community event areas. A lot of times, larger events will specially get permits and specially assigned overtime units, such, you know,
reggae
at the river, that kind special, of stuff, yeah. Or similar events.
But if you have a community picnic or something, and somebody just calls up and says, "Hey, we're going to be having a couple hundred folks over, you know, for this at this park,"
right?
If you guys get a chance, can you swing by a couple of times?
Yeah, and then we'll note that down and try and send a few patrols at least during the shift to not only to patrol and look for stuff we've already discussed, but also just to be part of the community.
Pick up a hot dog. I know
you. There you go.
KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:30.
May is Mattress Month, and where do more of your friends buy mattresses? Vern's Furniture. Take advantage of competitive pricing on the new Serta iComfort mattresses, the latest in sleep comfort with cool memory foam. Or save up to 50% on closeout mattress models from Englander. Save on Serta Perfect Sleeper mattresses, and choose 18 months no interest financing on the mattress set of your choice at Vern's Furniture, 5th and G Streets, downtown Eureka. Now's the time to buy during Mattress Month at Vern's.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time, 3:35. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with the one and only Chase Adams from the California Highway Patrol.
Mm-hmm.
There's only one of you, right?
That I know of, yes.
Okay. Are you going to have to start changing your name now that Adam's in charge?
No, actually, it's a benefit.
Oh, really? People almost pay attention to you now?
Yeah, if I call somewhere and say this is Adam, Adams from the CHP, they may think I said Adam, then they give me the time of day a lot quicker.
Oh, I see. So you're leveraging this as an opportunity.
Unintentionally, of course.
Oh, yeah. No, you wouldn't want to be taking advantage of any situation whatsoever.
Uh-huh.
Memorial Day weekend tends to be the opportunity for a lot of folks who aren't the professionals to get out and drive around. I'm thinking of the RVers, people who are unfamiliar with the roadway, may be unfamiliar with how their vehicle operates because it's been a couple of months since they've been out running around.
Sure.
You mentioned 36, which I still see as a more challenging than what it needs to be. Do most of the RVs coming into the area, do they want to go out into those types of locations? Is that where you guys will experience issues or situations, or is it inattentiveness? Or how do RVs factor into the equation other than just traffic count?
It can be a combination of all the things we've discussed, alcohol consumption, unfamiliar with the roadway. That can be a big one. Unsafe speed for the roadway. They've never been on this certain, abrupt or sharp turn, and they happen to miss the 25 mile an hour warning sign coming into the turn, and they end up going too quick and tipping over or clipping a redwood or whatever the case may be. However, as a rule, every time we've investigated most of these RV collisions or out of the area driver collisions, it's been found to be the primary factor in the collision has been operator error.
Looking at the pretty trees kind of thing?
Distractions, exactly. I've had that citation. Luckily, that's one I commonly, especially working down south, I commonly wrote people for what I would think would be a drunk driver drifting over the double yellows, drifting onto the shoulder, nearly clipping a tree. Pull them over, and they've been completely sober and said, "Oh, I was just looking up at these beautiful trees." And I've had to remind them in a friendly manner that their attention should be on the road when their vehicle's actually in the lane and moving, instead of a better option probably would be to utilize one of the scenic viewpoints or maybe the wide right shoulder and get out and take their picture. I've had people taking pictures as they're driving through the
open window,
the moonroof or the sunroof.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so that's discouraged behavior as well.
Particularly if there's nobody else in the rig other than you.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, it makes sense. logically it makes sense.
Yep.
But also at the same time, what, are you kidding me?
Yeah, it's funny though, with the more and more technology progresses and our attentions and are pulled in so many different directions. I mean, you can be surfing the internet, talking on a cell phone and sending a text at the same time. And then you add in the variable of driving a motor vehicle and we could have issues, especially if people don't use, and most of the people that I've, you know, photographed through the moonroof, those incidents, most of them have pretty much knew better and admitted as much at after the enforcement action had concluded. It's the, yeah.
You mean after the ticket was written?
Absolutely.
Or after you pulled them over?
After the citation was signed.
Yeah, yeah.
That, you know, yeah, officer, I apologize. I know better. That type of, and which is appreciated on, you know, as a law enforcement officer, I don't want to be out there trying to scold anybody. It's keeping people safe. But if there is that connection made after the enforcement action, when we're both adults here, yeah, I may have been acting in an unsafe manner. And then the educational aspect of it is accomplished too.
So just for giggles.
Sure.
What is the charge for taking a picture out of a moonroof of a moving vehicle?
Well, let me answer that question with a question. What do you think the safe speed for taking a picture out of a moonroof while driving on a roadway would be?
On a four-lane?
Two-lane? Two-lane with double yellows.
Driveway? Okay.
The safe speed?
Me, personally, I would think probably 20 or 25.
I would.
There are no other cars around.
Well, you're on. You got,
now, that's a caveat you didn't include.
Well, that's a variable.
The Avenue of the Giants.
Let's go with the Avenue between Weah and Myers Flat.
Yeah, nobody around. Okay, I mean, and there's a tree ahead, and take a picture. Go looking ahead.
How do you know nobody's around if your attention?
You
is
look. And you got a clear view of, you know, the next, I don't know, 1,000 yards.
Okay.
Nobody there. No wiggles.
So, as a general rule, and I found in a historically speaking,
but I wouldn't be driving. It would be passenger taking the picture.
Well, then you can.
But I'm still paying attention, but still going slow.
Yeah.
Picture
right.
taken. Yeah.
So the historically speaking, what I found and what most judges agreed with me is the safe speed for the driver to be utilizing his.
Do it yourself. It'd be a zero, probably.
It'd probably be round down to about zero.
Yeah, but stopping in the street.
That would be impeding. You could have other.
Nobody
other,
around.
Not that you know
other
of.
Other than the CHP officer in the trunk, of course.
And that's the argument I've made to these to some of these violators. They've said, well, there's no other traffic around. Well, sir, I was around. I saw the violation occur. Did you even see me? No, I didn't. So if your attention is.
It was that big billboard you're riding behind, man.
No comment on that. But,
there are no billboards
the
on
large,
the
Avenue large, the large 30-foot redwood tree.
Yeah. With wheels.
But if I, in all seriousness, if I asked the violator, well, did you see me directly behind you before you drifted into the other lane to take a picture? Well, no. And that in itself, if you don't see a marked black and white with the fancy lights on top, that may indicate that you may not have been paying close enough attention to traffic around you.
And what is this stuff you guys looking like the Humboldt County Sheriff's Department now?
Very coy. You know, I think you got that backwards. I believe it's the HCSO maybe looking like the CHP because we were black and white before.
Before black and white was cool?
We were black and white before black and white was cool.
Okay. KINS, News and Information Time, 3:42. We'll be back with more from Chase Adams.
Sacred Heart Church invites you to join us every Sunday for our liturgical celebrations. Saturday, 4 p.m. Confessions. 5 p.m. Sunday's Vigil Mass. 7 p.m. Spanish Mass. And on Sundays, 9:30 Morning Mass and 12:30 Spanish Mass. Come and celebrate with us.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 3:45. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Chase Adams from the CHP. Chase, some of the times, you know, we talk about personal interpretation. You know, what's a safe limit?
Sure.
Did you see me, yes or no? Sometimes it's pretty, well, to coin a phrase, black and white.
There you go.
It is. Yeah, that's why the signs are black and white, right? 55.
Yep.
That doesn't mean up to your opinion. It means 55 right on.
No gray area there.
How often do you guys see significant changes in traffic law?
Well, like we talked about earlier, the rapid and cultural changing advancements in technology, there has been some major changes in the last 5 years with traffic, with the California Vehicle Code to reflect the use of cell phones, texting, hands-free calls and texts, navigational systems, all of the above. So that's one thing that that has been, you'd seen major changes in laws that 10 years ago, for instance, the cell phone law came into effect in 2007. I'm sorry, 2008, I believe, July 2008.
Didn't need a trailer for a cell phone
exactly.
Before that point in time?
Yeah. I call them the two-handers, the big phones that you had to use two hands to operate and yell into it. It's not a pay phone, it's a cellular phone. And then the person on the other line didn't know what cellular phone was.
And the whip that, you know, you'd be hurting people with because of the antenna.
Yep.
Yeah,
exactly. So 10 years before, you know, 1998, cell phones were just becoming a household item. Usually it was one per family. Now it's about 9 per family, it seems like. But they weren't all too common on the roadway. And when they started becoming more common, we saw more collisions caused by inattention due to dialing or receiving a call or having your mind completely engaged with the caller on the other end and not paying attention to the roadway. So in turn, the legislator will make laws to try and curb some of those issues that we saw coming up. So that deals with a little bit of the technology and some of the advances there. As far as DUI, we are seeing law changes. We talked in earlier shows about drugs becoming more of an issue in impairment, whether it's prescription or illegal street drugs. And then illegal street drugs, which are now considered prescription based on Proposition 215. Notwithstanding using and driving, but that's probably another topic for another show. We do see a push nationally through the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration to possibly lower the absolute legal limit for DUI, which is now at 0.08 blood alcohol concentration. There's a push nationally to try and lower that to 0.05. Over 100 countries internationally have lowered that, and they've seen deaths on the roadway due to impairment go down. It's not on the books in California. The current legal limit is still 0.08. However, the caveat to that situation is if you are anywhere under 0.08 and we still see impairment, whether it's alcohol, drugs, or a combination of the two, you can still be arrested for DUI even if you're a 0.06, for an example.
The impairment really is the wild card in that.
Absolutely. And we're well trained and experienced to try and detect that impairment and gauge if you're physically capable of unimpaired driving your vehicle. And then the legal limits are basically enhancements if you're over a certain point, whether or not you're impaired. They're hard and fast lines.
Well, I would think particularly like with this weekend, you know, Monday afternoon, Monday evening, you've got maybe a couple of, you know, beers and you stopped an hour or two before you start on the road. But fatigue.
You got fatigue.
In combination with, so you're significantly below the 0.8, but the thing's just, you're still not a safe motorist.
Correct. And that's one of the things that if we do stop you for any of these reasons, we would try and assess and gauge. And if fatigue is lack of sleep, physical exertion, all of the above in conjunction with enjoying a few beverages, those are some of the things we look for. And then the legal limits are almost an afterthought to your actual impairment, your actual physical consciousness, and your ability to safely operate.
Thanks for coming by.
My pleasure.
Have a great weekend.
Oh, yeah, yeah, definitely.
We've been Talking Shop this afternoon with Chase Adams. Join us tomorrow afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you tomorrow.